Winter is just around the corner, and it will be here before you know it. Are you or someone you know sick of dealing with snow? Are you paying an outrageous amount for snow removal every time it snows? Look no further than Eric's Winter Services for all your snow removal and snow hauling needs. That's not all. They also do lawn care, landscaping, and tree trimming. To get an estimate, contact Eric at 920-255-8592 or email ericswinterservices@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook at Eric's Winter Services. Serving Wisconsin's Fox Valley area. Eric's Winter Services. Snow flurries, no worries. Welcome to the official Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society's podcast. I'm your host, Barnaby, and you're listening to Whispers from the Dark. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. I am your host, Barnaby, and on today's show, we have a special guest that will be talking about their experiences down in southern Wisconsin with a creature that could possibly have been a Bigfoot, as well as some other experience with ghosts and paranormal and how that's affected their life. So without any further ado, let's bring her on. So why don't you go ahead and tell us as much or a little about yourself as you're comfortable with so we get an idea of who you are. And once you do that, then we can get into your experiences.
Okay, good deal. So I guess I'm from southeastern Wisconsin originally, even though I don't live there anymore. It's been about 10 years since I've lived there. Professionally, I'm in human resources, even though I grew up more farming, and I still do that as a hobby. I always say my corporate job funds my farm life. So, that's essentially what I'm about. Growing up in southeastern Wisconsin, you always heard about the werewolf. I mean, I'm sure you're familiar. It's werewolf. And when I was a kid, people kind of took that really lightly. It was just this big joke. And as I got older and I learned more about it or about, dogman, werewolf, all that, you come to realize it's not a joke. It's pretty serious, especially for those that have had encounters. And I guess the same goes for Bigfoot. A lot of people regard it as this huge joke, and it's just not. It definitely can change like the fabrication of how someone sees their life and their experiences, for sure. Mm-hmm. So as far as my encounter, gosh, this was back in 2005. I was 17 years old. I was at my parents' house, which is in rural, I guess you would say it's Walworth County. It's considered Walworth County. And my parents have they live on top of a very large hill. So you go up a long driveway to get to their house. And then behind their house is an even longer driveway that cuts through fields and eventually ends up in a pole barn situation with ponds and all that. And then behind that is about 100 plus acres, maybe just more farmland and additional creeks at the back of the property. So it was probably this time of year, honestly, in 2005. And I was with my boyfriend at the time, and this sounds so typical, it was literally dusk. And that's exactly what it was. We were walking back from the pole barn headed towards my parents' house. And out to the corner of the field, maybe 150 feet away from us, we see this figure just making a beeline. And at first, I thought it was my dad. That's just naturally how I felt. But it was way too big to be my dad. And the way the silhouette looked, it looked like it was wearing like every piece of, like every coat imaginable. Just like, it looked like it was wearing coats upon coats upon coats. It was just very bulky. Head down, and it just seemed like it was on a mission. So I yelled, as I didn't know what was going on, and looked up, didn't see a face or anything, continued to look down after looking up, and then just walked even faster. So my boyfriend and I were very rattled, especially knowing that we had both seen it. I think he was more rattled at the time than I was because I was just really hoping it was my dad. I just was in the back of my mind really hoping that's who it was. And even though I also knew that that was way too tall to be my dad, and my dad's 6'5". So, I'm still trying to like make this logical. And so we get up to the house, we're hanging around outside talking about what happened. And maybe 10 minutes later, my dad pulls up the driveway from the road. And when he pulled in, I burst into tears because that solidified for me that there's, in the back of my, I was just really hoping. And I told him what we told him what we had seen. And the ground must have been frozen. They must have been done harvesting the crops out there because he took off in his vehicle and tore through those fields. I mean, he was really upset. So he came back. He said he didn't see anything, but whatever we saw was like making a beeline for the pond area, which has got some underbrush and things over there. So at that point, we talked about it a little more, and we both felt what we saw. I mean, at first I was like, oh, well, we saw the werewolf, just like everybody else in this county, we saw the werewolf. And I mean, learning what I've learned about the dog man, werewolf, whatever, I mean, that's not how they're built. So in talking with my dad further, my dad grew up maybe a mile away from where my parents now live and where I had seen what I saw. And their piece of property, my grandparents, was way more woods, like deep woods. And he told me that all of the time when he was a child, he would hear his name being called, and it wasn't his mom. And it sounded like a woman's voice. And he was the oldest, so his younger siblings, wouldn't have that voice. And he said it just happened constantly, and it would. And the voice came from deeper in the woods. So that I think at that point, we realized something might be out there. And then he also noted that when he was out in the fields, just kind of looking at crops, doing his thing, further back out on the property, he came upon this very deep den or hole in the ground in the middle of the field. And he said that he could have easily fit in there, if not a couple people. And he said the only thought he had was, I have to get out of here. And it was in the middle of the day. So I feel like those encounters, we also talked, we did speak with, or I did speak with, like a BFRO investigator, definitely had a conversation with him. He was one of my former teachers, actually. It had kind of been bothering me for a number of years, and I wanted to know if I was crazy. I wanted to know, or if three people, or especially the two that had seen what I saw, were we just losing our minds? So I went to him with like an aerial view of the property. I gave him as much information as possible. We looked into just kind of trying to see if there were other reports there. The road that this field where I saw it butts up against had had a roadside crossing, about 2 years prior to my sighting. Had had a Bigfoot sighting across the road. So we felt very strongly that there was definitely, you know, even talking to this guy, like, okay, now there's definitely for sure something going on here. So I feel like that's, you know, that's essentially it. I approached things very differently at my parents' house. Obviously, I was 17. I moved out when I was 18. So very rarely do I go back there. Very rarely, you know, have I ever been there at night or any time of the day similar. And I never, growing up the way I grew up, we were always just beaten to death with this werewolf thing. So I never even thought of Bigfoot as a possibility. And then when talking to the BFRO investigator, he said, no, there's numerous sightings in this area within like a 10-mile radius. He was telling me about a nuisance Bigfoot that was going through the trash of someone he knew. I mean, it was definitely eye-opening, for sure. So I guess my second experience, if you're ready for that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, well, let's touch on some little of this if you want. So how far away from you was this creature when you saw it in the field?
Like 100 to 150 feet.
Okay, so pretty close.
Yeah, I only know that distance because I remember when we were in school, we would figure out how long a blue whale was, and like that's we would measure it out in the field, and like that's how far away I knew it was.
So it was about a blue whale away. All right, got it.
About a blue whale away, yeah.
That's awesome. So you got a pretty good look at this thing. Like you said, it was really bulky, like it was wearing a lot of coats and stuff.
Yeah, it was thick. And it for this time of year, I mean, yeah, it was just thick. And it was the thickness was uneven. So I guess definitely resembled hair.
Okay.
Like matted, you know.
Okay. Do you remember what color it was at all?
Being that it was dust, or a little bit after dusk, it was all dark, so black would okay. be my yeah.
Did you happen to notice any kind of any more detail of the features, like the face or
No, I noticed it had a short neck because okay. it was hard to tell if it was looking down or if it just had such a short neck. Okay. But I would lean more on the had a short neck.
Okay.
And it was doing the 100% classic stereotypical walk, you know, the arms swinging slightly. I wouldn't say excessive swinging, but the arms were not neatly at its side.
Yeah. And it was obviously upright if you thought it was your father at the time, right?
Yes. Okay. And it's hard. I mean, just way too tall to be a person. And, you know, I'm used to tall people. I'm a tall person. My father's a tall person. So for me to think something's tall,
yeah,
that's a little much.
Cool. So, when it was walking, how long would you say your whole encounter lasted?
Oh, I would say 3 minutes before we ran.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
We watched it. I didn't want to watch it go to the pond area because that's obviously where it was headed. It was headed for the pond.
Okay. Did you happen to notice, like, did it look like it saw you guys at all?
It did. Okay. It definitely saw us. Yes. Okay.
And did it make any kind of noise or gesture or anything of, you know, like acknowledgement of you? No?
No. It turned a little and then kept walking because I was yelling.
Okay.
And then, yeah, then it just continued on its way and I freaked out.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that. Proceed with your next encounter then, I guess.
So I guess my next encounter is definitely not like a sighting. So I do a lot of backpacking.
Okay.
And this was in the Northern Kettle Moraine State Forest. I don't remember which campsite it was. But we were there for a large camp event. And I was awoken in the middle of the night at my campsite, which was closer to the woods, by this insane sound. And I had never heard it before in my entire life. And we're looking, gosh, this is recent. This is 2 years ago. Maybe, so spring of 21.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, so a year and a half ago. And so I heard this sound, and it was just so intense, and I just also thought, this is the prettiest sound I've ever heard in my life in the woods. I really just was kind of enamored with it. I could not get back to sleep. I didn't know if anyone else heard it. No one had mentioned anything about it. And I thought about that sound for a really long time because honestly, I never got into the Bigfoot thing after what happened. I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to talk about it. I just don't. It's almost like I didn't want to make it worse. So one day I haul my animals to Southern Illinois quite a bit with a trailer. And I decided I was going to listen to a Bigfoot podcast. That was just what I was going to do. And on the intro to this podcast, there was the sound I had heard. And I then went home and I looked it up. And it was like the whooping or the call or whatever. And 100% spot on every recording I looked at was what I heard. So, I mean, obviously not like a face-to-face or anything like that. I know in doing additional research, like that area is supposed to be kind of a hotbed, the Northern Kenilworane, kind of like, yeah, that area. I can't even think of the towns. So, I mean, I would love to go back, but at this point, I struggle with it's like fear and interest. It's a very strong mix. I do not think I would see anything else in my parents near my parents because that land is very slowly being developed. So I don't know, and because it's been so long, I don't think anything would be seen over there. Like I have no interest in going to my parents' house in the middle of the night or putting like buying a thermal camera or going out there. But I think if I were to return to the Northern Kenilworane, I think that would be more or less worth the trip because I felt almost more rattled by that, but maybe because it's more recent that I still feel like the effects of it. So.
So there's a lot of different sounds there. Can you kind of describe, like, was it the whoop, like whoop, or was it more like the howl, the whoa?
No, it was like the whoop,
Okay,
but it
so like
was
a
like
shorter.
over and over. Yeah, it was over and over again.
So like a repeated whoop.
Yeah,
Okay. I've
and it
actually
just
heard that.
echoed. Yeah, and it just echoed because in the kettles over that way, it was very echoey.
That's really cool. So, do you remember like about what time of day that was or how
It was in the
long they
middle of the night.
lasted?
It woke me up. Probably around like 1 in the morning.
Okay.
And how long? I would say maybe 30 seconds. Enough for me to listen to it and like try to decipher it. And I mean, I've heard a lot of different sounds in the woods. Like the first time I ever heard a fox, it scared the living daylights out of me.
Yes.
They're weird. That's not what you'd expect a creature with a snout like a dog to sound like. So, yeah. So I feel like I know my sounds, and then I mean I was dry when I was driving and listening to that podcast, and I heard what I had heard. I about crashed my car. I mean, I could not believe it. It was, yeah. I never even thought so, and I've never heard anything like that before or since. I mean, I haven't been camping a little bit. I did have a child, so it was kind of I've kind of taken a break, but.
Cool. So how would you say like these two experiences have like changed you? Like, are you more interested in Bigfoot? Like, are you doing research now on it? Like, are you still listening to podcasts or stuff? Or do you feel like this is something that's kind of more traumatic, like you don't know what's out there?
The first one when I was 17 was very traumatic because I felt like that's where I grew up. That's where you're supposed to feel safe. And granted, I didn't have the best childhood, but it's to some degree, there was supposed to be like a haven there. I do feel talking with the BFRO investigator made it worse. I felt after I spoke with him, it was actually two people I spoke with. I felt like they were like looking at the property, like, oh, this is where they bed down for sure. I bet this is where they bed. And they were just like, they just kind of escalate, like put like additional thoughts in my head that I had never thought of before. Yeah, because after that happened, there just wasn't an interest. I just, Maybe I should have sought closure. I don't have closure. I'll never have closure. Maybe I'll have closure if I see one actually, like, face to face, like 10 feet away from me. But definitely a fear. I hike sometimes at night, and I'm quite vigilant about that. I didn't. If it's in my immediate memory, like, oh wait, this happened, then I definitely am very vigilant. As far as the whoops I heard, I'd be fine going back there, not alone. Generally, the people I hike with, we hike in bear country up north quite a bit, so generally someone has like a side pistol on them, and I'm not saying that would do anything, but I just am not prepared to hike alone anymore. That's in just in general. I don't hike alone. It's not, or even with my children, I don't want to do that. So yeah, the first one traumatic. The second one was more like, oh, that's interesting. Okay. Like, I would have never guessed that.
Did you originally think that it was a Bigfoot when you heard it, or what was going through your
No.
head?
No, I thought I don't know what I thought. I thought, like, obviously animal, yes, but I would have never guessed that's what I heard. And then when I looked it up, I mean, every recording I hit, it was like spot on. And then I realized, just Google whatever, that that is, quite the area for Bigfoot. A lot of people go there. But also, so is the area that my initial sighting was. So it, because that area is near the Southern Kettle Moraine, maybe 10 minutes away. And, same, the roadside crossing that was reported like 2 years before I saw what I saw. So I've learned also that that area can be a little dense as well.
But you never, like maybe when you were growing up out there and stuff, obviously, if you're not, outside and stuff listening and that, but do you don't remember any other kind of like noises or anything growing up out there that maybe you couldn't explain?
Any time I ever heard a noise growing up, I plugged my ears. I
Okay.
did not want to hear. I was very scared of wildlife.
Okay.
So if it happened, I wouldn't know, because anytime I heard the faintest coyote, bird, anything at night, I was terrified. So I just did not. Yeah. So I don't even know. It's very odd for both of my parents to be kind of accepting of, oh, that's probably what's out there. My mom has never expressed any encounters, even though there's a very strong rumor where she grew up that there was one spotted on her parents' farm. But when we talk about it, she gets very uncomfortable, and she's like, I just hope it doesn't hurt me. Or, this was like 10 years ago, we were even talking about it, so we haven't talked about it recently. That's her big thing, is I just hope nothing happens to me. Do you think it's gonna hurt me? And so, I mean, my parents are very, like, they don't care about ghosts or things or aliens or things like that. They want what's tangible to them, especially my father. And I mean, it's very disturbing for me to hear that my dad was getting his name called deep into the woods as a child. I mean, that's very troubling. So, I have two siblings, and we've never talked about it with them. We just didn't come up with them. So,
You said your dad took off out into the field after this, right after you told him about it. Do you
yes.
know like what was going through his head? Did obviously if he'd had these encounters growing up and stuff, do you think he knew what it was or had seen it before?
I really believe he had seen it before. Because, and he doesn't remember saying this, but I remember as a small child, he came home one night out of the field and was very upset. And I remember him telling my mom, just don't tell them. Just don't tell the kids what I saw. And he will deny it for days and days. Oh, no, that didn't happen. And so I think what he was trying to do is he was trying to find it. Kind of like a decades long thing where, we all need closure, and I maybe that's what he was looking for. Him and I both read, after this, we both read the book about the Beast of Bray Road. So or maybe it was right before, but it was like right around that time. We both read it together, and which is unusual. So I think he was definitely trying to see what I saw. And, you know, or some sort of protection of his family. I mean, yeah, we were all teenagers, but yeah, it's just natural. Like, if there was a bear, I think anyone would run off and do the same thing too. Like, where the heck is it? What is it?
Now, the property where you said he was having his name called, that was his parents' property, not the one where this happened.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. But it's about a mile away.
Okay.
There's like a gravel pit in between the two properties.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. And no one in my family owns where he grew up anymore, so.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of what you said, you know, that rings true with a lot of the other encounters, and that a lot of the Bigfoot sightings and stuff, you know, when you really start digging into it, you hear those stories of, you know, something in the woods calling your name or your pet's name or your children's name and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And whether that's connected to Bigfoot or not, you know, that's something that you do hear a lot of these stories of people experiencing. So that really doesn't surprise me, but that's a very, you know, unsettling thing to have heard.
Right. And so the situation I'm in right now is my child's father absolutely refuses to move out into the country. And I rent a farm out in the country myself. And, you know, I'm always like, oh, I wish we lived out there. But a part of me is kind of happy that I don't have small children roaming around freely. Mm-hmm. Even though I live about 2 hours away from where I grew up, it, you know, part of me is just, it feels a little bit safer in town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was, especially when, like, there's a lot of heavy grass near where I saw this that no one cultivates or plants or anything, that it's just kind of left to grow, and it's very thick, it's very tall. We call it the island. And for, you know, the VFR investigator people, they're like, oh, that's probably where it beds down. I'm like, yeah, because it would be able to see the house, the barns, mm-hmm. everything, you know. It's a very good vantage point. I mean, it was just knowing what I know about, like, or hearing what I've heard about Bigfoot, it's just, it's all starting to make sense. And I definitely don't want it to make sense. I don't want it to be that. I want it to be, I mean, definitely don't want it to be a werewolf or a dog man. That's worse.
Yeah.
But, no, thank you. So it just kind of, I always say, it changed how I looked at my childhood. Like, oh, was I playing outside and being watched? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, especially because the corn, I mean, our house, corn grew thick around our house. Like, our yard butted up exactly to cornfields. So it just, like, and, you know, as a child, I'm always like, okay, I was a very skittish child. Was I skittish? And I always thought I saw something out the corner of my eye when I was a kid. Like, okay, was I just a kid with a heavy imagination, or was something happening? And it just makes me question a lot of things, for sure.
Definitely. There's just something about corn. Like, I remember walking out on a hike for CAPS here, and we're walking down this road in the middle of the woods, and I kind of lost track of where I was, and I looked up, and now we had walked out of the woods, and we were walking next to a cornfield. And for whatever reason, that cornfield creeped me out more than the woods did that we had been walking through.
Yeah, I was raised on a grain farm, so I'm well aware of, like, you know, it's just grain. But I never liked it when a tall crop was planted near the house. You know, they would rotate the crops. The soybeans, fine, did not care. Mm-hmm. But corn, it just really bugged me, because I mean, that's acres and acres of essentially, yeah, if you can get lost in it, maybe that was my deal. But yeah, it's just unsettling.
It's a lot thicker than woods too, as well. You know, like, woods you can kind of see into, you can shine a flashlight into and see for a distance, but the corn is just so thick and dense that anything could be, you know, 2 feet in there and you'd never know. So
yeah, you'd have no idea. Correct, for sure. Yeah, it's just, like I said, it just kind of changed the fabric of how I saw my childhood. If I ever saw one again, I think either it would severely traumatize me or it'd bring me closure. I don't know. I was hiking at Devil's Lake with a friend in the dark like a year ago. And those boulders at Devil's Lake, I thought I saw one sitting on top of a boulder. I screamed bloody murder. And she's like, what is wrong? I'm like, oh, nothing. Not like when I realized it was just my mind. I mean, it's just left like the skittish part of me for sure. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the dark can play a lot of weird tricks on you, even if there isn't anything there.
Yeah. So it kind of took like a part of me that was fearless, basically. So I know like that whole, like the Finding Bigfoot show, I was contacted to be on the Wisconsin episode. And I did decline. I really didn't need to be my face on the television. So they felt it was a very compelling story. I felt I did not want to be on TV.
You know, so. And that's a lot of times, you know, what happens with people that have, you know, encounters and stuff like that. People always say to me, you know, like, well, where are all the photographs? Where are all the videos? You know, if people are seeing these things all the time, why don't more people come forward? And that right there answers that question, you know, because people don't want to be associated with this. They don't want people on their property, you know, poking around at where they saw it and stuff. And I think the average person just doesn't understand that until, you know, like someone like you has actually witnessed it. And, you know, you have that experience of, you know, I just want to forget about it. You know, I don't want people on my property. I don't want to be known as the Bigfoot girl, you know, and, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, you could have the best, you know, half hour long video of this thing clear as day, and you still don't want people on your property looking for it, you know?
Right. And, you know, the guy that was with me back then, that was, you know, a high school boyfriend, a very brief boyfriend. But every few years, we will circle back and we will talk about it. And I think it's just to verify, yeah, like you saw it, I saw it. Okay, we're just making sure that we had the same experience. And, you know, however many years later, as two people in our 30s, do we both have the same opinion? You know, how do we feel about it? I know he still feels very strongly about what happened. You know, because, you know, growth, maturity, everything that comes with age, you know, I just want to, you know, I still feel the same way that I did when I was 17. So.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your story so much. It's great to hear like people's encounters and stuff. And I appreciate you, you know, being willing to come forward and talk about it, especially, you know, having turned down, you know, the BFRO and the TV. Obviously, this is a smaller platform and we don't have to see you and stuff like that. But
right. I watched that episode of like, that could have been me. The gentleman who I did the report with was on that episode. Mm. And, you know, he's very well known in Wisconsin Bigfoot. So he said, so, yeah, I feel like maybe I kind of dodged a bullet because gosh forbid, you know, I always say like, I date quite a bit. I'm freshly divorced. And when I go on dates, I like make fun. Like, it's like, I always try to feel out people like, oh, Bigfoot, ha ha ha. And if they're like, no, like, this is serious. I'm like, all right, you're safe.
Yeah.
Like, or like, can you believe those crazy people that believe in Bigfoot or think they saw one? And if they're like, yeah, they're crazy, I'm like, okay, then maybe this will not work out.
Yeah.
It's like a party joke or a party trick kind of a deal for me. So
have those been like your only encounters, like nothing else paranormal, weird lights or anything like that?
When I was, I would say 14, I did have a ghost encounter.
Okay.
In my parents' home.
Mm-hmm.
So that took some time to deal with and get over too. What happened was it was a cold night. I was the first one. I don't think it wasn't quite winter, maybe November. And I was freezing. So we get out of the car. I'm the first one to run in the house. And once I get in the house, I was looking kind of at the stairwell that goes from the outside door to the basement. They just line up together. And from that door went a white figure. It looked like snow, to be totally honest with you. It just looked like pure snow in a figure shape. And it just zoomed into the basement. And I was the only one in the house. I don't think anyone came in for like 5 more minutes. By the time they got in there, I was of course crying because I didn't know what to do. I was paralyzed. So that's all on that property. Sometimes I worry if I'm a magnet for that kind of stuff. I did have a house I own near Madison. Very odd things would happen to the point where we did call the police. The police said, like, this is, I don't have anything to tell you. We would have, like, it would look like people had been cooking in our house, food scattered about, banging on the windows. And it was in the woods, but and this was with a former boyfriend. He still lives there. I don't talk to him, so I don't know if anything's happened since, but like we would come home and we were very vigilant about locking our doors. We'd come home to doors wide open, pets outside, just food all over. Like there was like it looked like yeah, at one time there was food all over, but it looked like someone had opened a can of biscuits and cooked them and then just thrown them. Lots of like weird scratches high up on our walls. Just and yeah, a lot of banging on the windows. So I know he had researched that there are Native American burial grounds near there, because it runs along the Ice Age Trail near Madison. And he said there's mountains back there. So that was weird. Like, I can't pinpoint that one at all. It was over the period of about a year that all that just kind of happened. There was some history with that house. A woman had died there, and we think it was in an odd circumstance. Like, perhaps when she was near the end of her life, they were locking her in rooms because there were padlocks on the outside of bedroom doors. So it just seemed like a very tense kind of death, I would imagine, even though she had cancer. So, but I'm just, yeah, I think that's about it on the paranormal stuff.
Well, I think
I
that's
don't,
enough. I mean, weird houses
I
with
know.
padlocks on the doors and cooking biscuits
I,
and.
yeah, I know that, like, I don't know how kids are supposed to act, but I have a 2-year-old. And he's really scared of a certain area in his dad's house. And he's just always like, I don't want to go in there. And it's the living room. It's where the TV and the toys are. So every once in a while, he'll get very scared. He's also unusually afraid of men, even though we cannot seem to find a negative experience he's had with a man. So, but that's, I feel like that's super secondary. He's probably not seeing things. It's just, or maybe it's my energy. You know, it's just he's feeding off his mother's whatever it is. So,
Well, I feel like, with the amount of cases and stuff that we've handled and that, it seems like people who have had one experience in their life, it seems like that tends to open up their mind to being receptive to the thought of other things. And once you are receptive to, if you're receptive to Bigfoot, well, then you start to wonder, well, I wonder if ghosts are real or aliens or this or that.
right,
And, being obviously I've heard the stories, growing up of, the Beast of Bray Road, Dogman and stuff like that. You seem like you're already perceptive and or receptive to that kind of stuff. So it makes sense that then you would be able to start picking up these other things, and it just kind of snowballs that now that you can see and experience this, and you're not second guessing yourself that this actually did happen, that you would be able to have more and more of these experiences throughout your life.
yeah. And I almost don't want to. It does bother me quite a bit, the things that have happened. I'm sure there's more. I'm really good at blocking out bad memories. I think that's like, that could be my profession. I could get paid for that. So I know there's things that have happened additionally in my parents' home, but that was the one that was the most memorable. My dad talks about ghosts in their house now too. He didn't know when I was a kid, but now he does. He doesn't get into specifics, but there's always, and I never know what to make of it. There's always an orb in a picture I take or something. You know, there's always something like that lurking around, and it could just be what they say orbs are, like dust.
Whispers from the Dark will be right back after this quick message from our sponsors.
If you're a fan of the paranormal world, then you'll love WLTK-DB Talk Radio. Talk shows bringing you the latest on everything paranormal, cryptozoological, metaphysical, true crime, psychic readings, and more. The truth is here and now on WLTK-DB Talk Radio at WLTK-DB.com.
So what I was saying was, like, I've never wanted this to happen. I've never wanted to be receptive. I feel like it's just always lurking. Like, stuff like this is, I feel like it's just going to happen to me, and I don't want it to.
Yeah. Well, it's understandable. So, I mean, you know, some people seek it out, and some people, you know, like, you know, it depends on your experience. If, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but you know, like, some people just don't want to experience it. You know, like, they're just not comfortable with it, or have had that traumatic encounter, and, you know, once is enough.
I think the whole dogman werewolf thing. I don't know the last time there's been a sighting. I guess I don't look into it, because to me, that is absolutely horrifically terrifying. I said in the beginning, it's not a joke. It isn't. I mean, you just cannot mess with that stuff. I say it accidentally because my former husband, he was really big into watching the Skinwalker Ranch show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to know any more about skinwalkers. I don't want to open that door,
mm-hmm.
a possibility for myself, because that things like that and the werewolf are just, I don't want it. I don't want it in my life. I don't want the universe or whatever to think it's okay to send them my way.
Mm-hmm.
Because the universe seems to think it's okay to send me a ghost or two, or a Bigfoot or something. And that's, no, like, something to draw the line somewhere. So.
Well, my best advice to you is to stay strong, because from our experience, it seems like a lot of this stuff that, like you said, is, you know, you open the door to it and you get more and more of it, and the universe tends to listen, like you said. So as long as you make it very clear to the universe that you do not want Dogman by you, and, you know, that that's not okay, and you don't want to be associated with certain things like this, then, you know, that's the first step to making sure that you don't have those experiences, or hopefully don't.
When the things that were happening in my former house near Madison were happening, my boyfriend at the time said he had something to tell me. And I said, we can't talk about it in the house. It's not safe.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt that us talking about it would give it energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, to most people, it sounds kooky. And to me, that sounds kooky, but I just, like, any, like, I don't want to give energy to a negative person either.
Mm-hmm.
So, by acknowledging that they even exist. So we got in the car and we drove to the gas station. I'm like, okay, what do I need to know? What happened while I was gone?
Mm-hmm.
So, I completely agree.
Yeah, and that's totally possible. I mean, like, all of this stuff is speculation. Anything paranormal, anything Bigfoot, anybody who tells you they know what's going on, you know, they're the crazy one. But, you know, a lot of this stuff, you know, there are certain things that do make sense. And, you know, by putting energy behind stuff, it stands to reason that more energy is going to come, you know, like you said.
Right, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's not what I want. I wouldn't be surprised if stuff keeps happening. It's maybe been about a year since, like, a, you know, just like a bump in the night kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, hopefully it just settles down, or...
Well, for your sake, I hope that that having our conversation here today does not bring up anything bad for you.
Yeah,
but if it does,
just occurred to me till just now.
If it does, you are more than welcome to come back on the show and tell us all about it.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm like, I have a camping trip planned in 2 weeks. I don't know where we're going, but
hopefully warm based on the weather today. So.
No, my friends and I like to winter camp sometimes, which we don't like to do it. We just like to say we do it.
Okay.
So, it'll probably be Devil's Lake or something easy, but yeah, no, I hope it's quiet. I hope, hopefully nothing weird, and yeah, so.
Awesome.
No, that's, well,
I hope you let me know if anything happens, and definitely keep in touch. I do have one question here before we go. The ghost that you said you saw that walked from the door to the stairwell, you said it was white. Is there any other detail that you had about it? Did it look male or female or anything?
No, it just looked like a very thick white mist.
Okay. And I don't want I don't want to worry you or anything more than anybody else has. But the reason why I ask is because in some of these Bigfoot sightings, there's a woman in white that is seen. And as soon as you saw that, or as soon as you said that, I was like, oh man, I wonder if you saw a woman, because that would...
I've never heard that before in my life. I'm definitely going to look at that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of cases.
I travel a lot.
Yeah, the issue is, you know, like, you really, like, most Bigfoot investigators and most people, like, you know, that research Bigfoot only stay on the surface. You know, they don't talk about all the other weird stuff that happens in relation. And when you ask those questions and you start digging into these things, you find more and more things. Like, there's a lot of Bigfoot connections to, like, fae mythology, like fairies and other fae creatures of the woods and stuff.
Oh, right. I've heard of that.
And that's also...
That's
also where you get, you know, like the calling of your name from the woods and stuff is out of fae mythology and that. So there's this woman in white that travels with this large hairy man and two candelas or balls of light. And that's part of that's a fae mythology story. And so it's really interesting, you know, whenever I get like these opportunities where you bring up, you know, this white figure, I'm like, I have to circle back to this. So.
Yeah, no, that is definitely a little bone chilling here.
I apologize.
That's interesting. I thought I had done some research, but I guess that's incredibly interesting. Wow, good to know.
Well, I hope you can sleep well tonight, and I didn't you know, rip open some old wounds there, but
Well, hopefully you didn't rip open a portal. What I would need is something, and I'm not entirely sure how I feel about all that, but gosh forbid that happens. I mean, that's how I feel. Like you said, it's all speculation.
Oh, yeah.
And so everything is speculation, but let's hope what's speculated doesn't happen, or, you know, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, a lot of the times, you know, like, some of that stuff, you know, with the balls of light or Bigfoot and all that stuff, you know, we can't say that it's all connected. You know, if you're out in the woods, you know, if you're out in the woods looking for Bigfoot and all of a sudden this, you know, gnome walks out on the trail in front of you, is the gnome related to Bigfoot? No, he's completely his own thing, you know, possibly. And now all of a sudden, well, you're trying to connect it because you're out there looking for Bigfoot. You know, it's all circumstantial, but, you know.
I didn't know the gnomes were a thing. I didn't know people thought gnomes.
Yeah.
I didn't know this happened.
Yep.
Maybe I don't look at paranormal stuff enough. I had no clue.
Oh, yeah. Yep. There's,
like, in Wisconsin?
Well, Chicago area. We recently had Chris Fleming on the show, and Chris Fleming is a famous TV medium, psychic and stuff, and he's actually seen a gnome in his own house. He was in the bathroom talking to Dave Schrader on the phone, and a gnome walked into the doorway and stared at him, and then Chris Fleming screamed and then took off, and the gnome ran away. And, you know, if you're familiar with any, like, paranormal shows and stuff, he also has been doing a lot of, like, EVPs, the electronic voice phenomenons, the recording of audio.
Okay.
And he's actually had a conversation with a gnome there as well. So, yeah.
I thought gnomes were just weird little lawn decorations that old ladies came up with. That's really what I thought. I just thought it was something weird someone's grandma invented.
Yep.
And that didn't come from anything. Like, it wasn't based on anything.
Yeah, so that's the problem with a lot of fairy tales and mythology, is somebody somewhere in history saw that, or, you know, had that experience and wrote it down. And...
I mean, I have heard a story. I mean, I don't know where I heard it. I think I heard it in high school. I must have read it somewhere, where someone had a Bigfoot just appear in their home.
Yeah.
Just randomly. Mm-hmm. And then leave. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, wait, you can lock all your doors and it doesn't matter?
Yeah. Oh, well, That's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother ball of wax
I'm
of
sure
that. So,
it is. Well, this feels like there's a lot of balls of wax.
yes,
So.
Those are called rabbit holes, and the more that you go down
yeah,
them, the more
right.
that you
And
hear
I
and see and feel and yeah.
No, the only rabbit hole I am in right now is the whole hidden history thing. Where that I guess it never had occurred to me. Like, oh wait. We haven't been told everything about history. Like, some of those areas are well protected by whoever, whatever. And I'll, like, someone controls the narrative on history. Like, as a 34-year-old person, I didn't realize, like, wait, because obviously that makes sense. Like, we only are told what we want or they want us to know.
No. If you'd like to
yeah,
go down that rabbit hole, I highly suggest Robert Kreider. He does a lot of, he's an archaeologist. And he goes
okay.
down a lot of stuff of the history of the United States, even of the,
right.
the Celts or Celtics and stuff that came over here way before, you know, they had these huge boats that the Roman Empire destroyed. And when they destroyed them, they actually stranded a whole bunch of Europeans over in the United States well before, you know, the Vikings or Christopher Columbus
okay.
or anybody else was here. So. He's got a lot of old history that he's uncovered
yeah.
and stuff. So
yeah, well, definitely some good, like, I don't know, reading podcasts. Or I like I travel about weekly, about 6 hours to Minnesota every
nice.
Week for work. So yeah, good to know. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, definitely check out Robert Kreider. He hopefully we will have him on one of our shows coming up here soon. So you know, hopefully you can check that out. But he is definitely an interesting guy. So
yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Good deal.
All right. Well, I will let you get back to your driving. Safe travels. And hopefully
yes.
You do not have any new wormholes or rabbit holes opened up. And
I feed my livestock in pitch black. You know, and that would be just what I need is something feasting on them, too. I didn't even think about that. So, all right. Good deal. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. You have a great day.
Yep. Yep.
Bye. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. To find out more about cryptids, anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, visit us at our website at wisconsincaps.com. That's Wisconsin, CAPS.com. There you can find links to all of our social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and our Patreon. You will see links to our online store as well, where you can get t-shirts, DVDs, and more. If you click on the public events page, you can find out where you can meet us in person and all the public events we have coming up. If you enjoy our podcast or our YouTube shows, please consider becoming a Patreon at patreon.com/WisconsinCaps. There you can find behind-the-scenes pictures and videos from all of our media, as well as bonus footage and evidence that we have collected. If you have encountered something you can't explain, we want to hear from you. Visit our website and click on Submit a Report on our main screen. You can choose to leave your contact information or simply remain anonymous. You can also reach us via email at wisconsincaps@gmail.com. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please contact us on our Whispers from the Dark podcast page on Facebook, or send us an email at wisconsincaps.com. Remember to like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen or watch or find us.